This morning we'll continue this series of messages that I started several weeks ago now. It's kind of our Easter theme, our Easter focus. Truly, this was the Son of God. And as we've gone through this series of messages, I keep drawing your attention back to the words of a Roman centurion in Matthew 27, where he witnessed all the events of Jesus' crucifixion. And after witnessing those events and seeing those things happen, he said, "Truly, this is the Son of God." And so as we've gone through this series of messages, we've kind of seen that idea come up over and over again. We began in Psalms, and then we were in Matthew, and we've kind of been in John here for the last number of weeks. We'll be going back and forth here over the next couple of weeks and looking at other messages. We'll also be in Psalms on Monday, Thursday for our communion service. We'll be in the book of Acts as we celebrate Easter. As we've looked at this series, we started with being able to experience the joy of forgiveness. And we realize, we know in our hearts, but we're reminded of the fact that we can't experience forgiveness without knowledge of the Son. From there, we moved ahead and we heard the voice of God speaking from heaven as we looked in the Gospel of Matthew. And we heard God speak on a couple of different occasions about His Son Jesus and saying that not only Jesus was His Son, but that He was well pleased in His Son and all that Jesus was doing. And then the last 2 weeks, we kind of centered around the same idea of people that came to know who Jesus was. And so the first one that came to know who Jesus was a Samaritan woman. And we talked a little bit about the cultural differences between the Samaritans and the Jews and how Jesus really wouldn't have normally been speaking to a Samaritan woman, but yet in their conversation, in their discussion back and forth, she came to know who He was, and she confessed and made known to others that this was the Messiah, this was the Son of God, this was the one that people were waiting for. And then last week in John chapter 9, we read of one of Jesus' wonderful miracles, bringing sight to a man who had been blind from birth. And we also saw, as we looked at that wonderful miracle, that, you know, this man's eyes were opened spiritually as well, as he began by just identifying Jesus as a man named Jesus. And then he said that perhaps he was a prophet and that he was from God. And then Jesus spoke to him and said that he was the Son of God. And this man believed in that, in spite of the fact that he would be ostracized and reviled by the community around him, he came to know who Jesus was. This morning, our message is titled Past, Future, and Now. And the teacher in me looks at the title and says that it's not spelled correctly because it should be P-A-S-T. But I purposely use the word past, P-A-S-S-E-D, because we're going to talk this morning, we're going to be looking in John chapter 11 at the story of Lazarus. And so this is what we know. We know John chapter 11 well, and we know that Lazarus passed away. So that's the P-A-S-S-E-D, and that's why I'm using that word this morning. So we'll look at that fact. We'll look at the fact that Lazarus indeed had died. Jesus announced that to His disciples, and when Jesus and His disciples arrive in Bethany, the family is mourning because Lazarus has passed away. Jesus will speak then to both of Lazarus' sisters. He speaks first to Martha, and in speaking to Martha, Martha knows about the future. She knows about what's to come because she has listened to the teachings of Jesus, and she knows what is to come in the days, in the years ahead, however long it might be. Martha knows about the future. But Jesus didn't want people to look in what had passed. Jesus didn't want people just to look at what was in the future. Jesus wanted people to focus on the now. And specifically, Jesus wanted people to focus on the now because He wanted to bring healing to this man, Lazarus, who had passed away. I'm going to come back to a thought several times this morning in the message, and it's a thought that I read this week from Warren Wiersbe, and he said that nobody present expected a miracle. So as we look at John chapter 11 this morning, please keep that in mind, that nobody who was there except Jesus expected a miracle. The Son of God, He wanted to focus on the now. He wanted to focus on that day, and He wanted to bring healing, but nobody's mind was there because they were either thinking about what had passed, or in Martha's case, was thinking about what was to come, but Jesus wanted to focus on the now. Let's talk a little bit about what had passed. Lazarus is dead. And in John 11, let's go back to verse 1, and we get kind of the background of what's happening here as we learn about Lazarus' death. In John 11, beginning in verse 1, "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who had anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to Him, saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick.' When Jesus heard that, He said, 'This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it.'" So we know Mary and Martha and Lazarus well. We read about them throughout the gospel. We read about Jesus visiting their home. This was a family that knew Jesus. This was a family that Jesus had spent time with. And we read here and we learn that Jesus received word that he whom you love is sick. It's not there in those first four verses. But as we read on, we learn that Jesus received that word and he stayed where he was for two whole days. Now, in the meantime, Lazarus has died. But if you look back there at verse 4, Jesus, when he learned this information that Lazarus was sick, I want you to pay attention to what Jesus said at that moment. He said, "This sickness is not unto death." That should be a little bit of foreshadowing of what's to come. "But for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." So there he identifies himself as the Son of God. And he says, "The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God." Now let's skip down to verse 14. I'm skipping over some conversation that Jesus and the disciples have. I'd encourage you to read that at some point. But in verse 14, we learn what we know. We know because we've read John 11 before. In verse 14, "Then Jesus said to them," his disciples, "plainly, 'Lazarus is dead.'" And so they have to wonder how Jesus knows this, because they're still a town away. They've been there in this town for 2 days. They've not heard any more news, but Lazarus announces to his disciples... I'm sorry, Jesus announces to his disciples that Lazarus is dead. Now look at verse 15. Verse 15 is not the words you would expect from somebody who heard or just announced that someone had passed away. "Jesus said, 'And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let's go to him.'" Now again, that doesn't sound like the words of someone who has just said somebody passed away, because he said, "I'm glad for your sakes that we weren't there. Let's go ahead and go to Lazarus." And maybe the disciples would think, well, why? If you just told us that he's dead. And Jesus, why did you say that you were glad that we were not there? As we look at John chapter 11, we read the story of one who has passed away. One who has died. And after 2 days, Jesus, who is friends with Mary and Martha and the now deceased Lazarus, he decides that they'll go. They'll go. And as we look at verse 21, what we're going to begin to do here is we're going to begin to look at the fact that everybody that knew Lazarus, they were focused on his death, and rightfully so. When someone passes away, we go through a period of mourning. We go through a period of sadness and loss. And we don't want to take that away from these folks, because they've experienced that pain. They know what that loss is like. And everybody that Jesus is going to run into, everybody that Jesus is going to encounter here in this situation, they're focused on the fact that, that Lazarus has passed. Look in verse 21. Jesus first runs into Martha. And remember, Martha was the sister that was always busy. She was always doing things. And in verse 21, "Now Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you.'" So Martha hears that Jesus has come to town, and she goes out to meet him. And her words to him, "If you would have just been here, Lord. If you would have been here, my brother would not have died." We see the faith that Martha has. She believes that Jesus could have healed him. She even says to him, "You know, anything you ask of God, I know that he'll do." Now, was she thinking that Jesus was going to come and bring her brother back to life? I don't think so. Maybe she thought that, you know, Jesus would pray for comfort for the family, for comfort for the community. I don't know what exactly she was thinking, but I'm pretty sure that she wasn't expecting a miracle. Look ahead a little bit to verse 32, because in verse 32, we read about Jesus encountering Mary. And we read about Mary. Mary was the one that poured the oil over Jesus' feet and washed his feet with her hair. This was a person who was deeply attached to Jesus and deeply spiritual. And in verse 32, she echoes the words of her sister. And then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." The sisters are focused on the passing of their brother, and rightfully so. Now let's look at the crowd of the mourners. In verse 36, "Then the Jews said, 'See how he loved him?' And some of them said, 'Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?'" And so everybody's focused on Lazarus passing. They're focused on the fact that Lazarus, a friend of Jesus, has died. And Mary and Martha and the crowd, they're saying, "If only this man would have been here, he could have saved this man. If Jesus would have been here, Lazarus would not have passed away." Well, let's go back to verse 15 and what Jesus said to his disciples. Jesus said to his disciples in verse 15, "I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe." Everybody's focused on the passing of Lazarus, and rightfully so. Let's not take that away from the fact that these people are mourning. But Jesus, this circumstance, this situation, him pausing before he goes, he says that it's so people might come to believe. The Life Application Study Bible says that Jesus was glad that his disciples and all of these others, they would soon see an amazing miracle. But the people, their minds, their hearts, they're focused on the one who has passed, and we understand that. Now let's talk a little bit about the future. Let's go back to verse 23, because Jesus and Martha, after that exchange where Martha says to him, "Lord, if you'd have just been here, my brother wouldn't have died," Jesus goes a little further and he talks about what's to come. But there's kind of a misunderstanding here between Jesus and Martha. In verse 23, Jesus said to her, this is immediately after she said, you know, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't be dead. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Now, we know what that means because we know John chapter 11. But in that moment, Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God. There it is again, the Son of God who is to come into the world. Martha had spoken to Jesus about what was past. My brother died. And Jesus spoke to her about what would happen in the now. He said to her, he said, your brother will rise again. And we know that to be true because we know how John 11 ends. But whenever he shared those words with her, that your brother will rise again, Martha fast-forwarded. She fast-forwarded through her life. She fast-forwarded through generations. Of course, we can talk about generations today because Christ has not yet come again. That resurrection that Martha was thinking about has not yet come. She fast-forwarded because she believed Jesus' teachings. Let's hold our place here in John 11 and go to John chapter 5. And in John chapter 5, this is some of what Jesus had been teaching his disciples. And when I say his disciples, I don't mean just the 12. I mean all that heard his teachings. And so when Jesus said to Martha, your brother will rise again, she thinks back to what Jesus has been teaching. And in John 5, we'll look at verse 28. Jesus taught these things. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice. So there we go. That's what Martha's thinking about. She's thinking about, okay, my brother Lazarus, who is in the grave, he will hear the voice crying out to him. Verse 29, and come forth those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of the condemnation. And so she's thinking, okay, Jesus, that's what you're talking about. You're talking about my brother Lazarus hearing that voice in the last day. And coming up out of the grave to receive his eternal reward. Martha, she's a believer. She believes in what Jesus is teaching. She believes in a future resurrection. She believes in eternal life. Jesus followed that up and he said, I am. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die. Do you believe that, Martha? And Martha believed. And we look at what she said there. She didn't have to be led to what she believed like the Samaritan woman. She didn't have to be led to what she believed like the blind man we read about last week in chapter 9. Martha knew. And she looked at Jesus after he declared that he is the resurrection. He is eternal life. She said, I believe you're the Christ. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you're he who was to come. But remember that thought I wanted you to keep in the back of your mind this morning. Nobody present expected a miracle, including the one who knew the Son of God. She knew the Son of God. She knew who Jesus was. She just testified to that fact. She knew what Jesus had done. He had given sight to the blind. He had healed the lame. And she said, I believe in the future resurrection. I believe in what you taught us, what we just read in John chapter 5. The crowd is focused on the one who's passed. And as Jesus speaks to Martha about the resurrection of her brother, she's thinking way off, sometime down the road. But Jesus really wants the people, and he wants their focus to be on the now. Now, let's start in verse 33, and we'll read up to verse 40. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and this is after he had talked with Mary, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? That they said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave. And a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Now, that's what Jesus wants to focus on. Not the past, not the past several days. Jesus doesn't want to focus on the future that is years away. He wants to focus on the now. And so he comforts Mary and Martha. And he says, Where have you laid him? Jesus wants to go to the tomb. That wouldn't be unusual because we visit the graves of our loved ones. We go to pay respect. We go to honor them. We go to remember. And Jesus, it would seem as though he's doing those things. This was his friend. This was one that he wept over. And he says, Where have you laid him? I read a commentary this week. And I read it and then I went back to find it. I couldn't find it again. But I know it's there. I just couldn't find it. But in that commentary, it kind of raised the fact that Jesus asked the question, Where did you lay him? Where's the tomb? And the commentator pointed out that, you know, Jesus didn't want to just use his power to just kind of show off that he knew right where the tomb was. He asked where Lazarus was buried. And so they take him to that tomb. He gets there, he weeps, and that's when the Jews say, Well, couldn't he have saved him? Chuck Swindoll says that everybody there in that situation, they're underestimating the power of God. Mary and Martha, who were believers in who Jesus was, they're underestimating the power of God. The crowd, well, we know that to be the case, that they underestimate the power of God, that they don't believe in who the Son of God is. And Jesus then, you know, as people are thinking that he's coming to pay his respects, he says, Take away the stone. And I don't know, you almost feel like maybe Martha shrieks a little bit. Jesus, no. And she says, we can't take away the stone. We can't take away the stone because he's been dead for 4 days and it's gonna smell. I want you to think about Martha just for a second here. Just a few verses before this, she had declared her faith. She said, I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe you're the one that was promised to come. And yet it's almost like in this second, she loses her faith momentarily. Because Jesus talks about rolling away the stone. And Lord, we can't do that. And let's not be too hard on Martha. Because there are those times in our lives where for an instant, for a moment, we lose our faith in who the Son of God is and what he might be able to do here. What he might be able to do in our lives. And for a moment, she shrieks, she says, No, Lord, we can't do that. And Jesus speaks up again and he says, If you would believe, if you would just believe, you would see the glory of God. Remember that comment I've been coming back to, and that is that nobody there expected a miracle. Because Lazarus was passed. He was dead. Martha, your brother will rise again. Oh, sure, Lord, he'll rise in the last day. But in the now, nobody's expecting a miracle. In verse 41... Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes and with his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." After talking with Martha, Jesus prayed, "Father, you always hear me." But notice what else he puts in that prayer. "I'm praying this now. I'm praying this here so that others around might hear that prayer and so they might believe that you sent me." Let's go back. I think it's to verse 14. No, I'm sorry. It's verse 4. Go back to verse 4. And remember what Jesus said. He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." That's his prayer in a nutshell. J. Vernon McGee says, "This whole incident is for the glory of God." Jesus voices his prayer for the benefit of those that are present. John writes, "Now." It's not about the past. It's not about the future. "Now, when he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.'" And many people have written through the years and said it's a good thing that Jesus said Lazarus, because if he had just said, "Come forth," the graves would have opened and hundreds would have come out. And so he spoke to Lazarus, and he came out. And John tells us he came out bound hand and foot. Get that pictured in your mind. It's almost like the mummy lives. You know, here comes Lazarus, still bound up in his grave clothes, trying to stumble out of that tomb, trying to walk, being all wrapped up in these grave clothes. See, it's not like when Jesus rose. Because when Jesus rose and the disciples went and they went into that tomb, there was Jesus' grave clothes already wrapped up and laying there, and Jesus was gone. But Lazarus, he's coming out with the grave clothes still on him. And Jesus says, "Loose him and let him go." The Nelson Study Bible says, and we know this to be true, that raising Lazarus is the greatest miracle of all. He gave life back to the dead. Remember what the centurion said after Jesus' crucifixion. He said, "Truly, this man is the Son of God." And we see it here, and we see it very clearly in John chapter 11. "Truly, this man, Jesus, he is the Son of God. If people would just simply believe." And boy, I have to think there were a lot of believers that day. Nobody expected a miracle. But they saw God being glorified through the Son that he sent so that it might lead people to believe in who he was. As we close this morning, I'm going to use the right past now. P-A-S-T. Past, future, and now. Martha, she wavered. She wavered between the past. "Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died." In the future. Not just a future, but a glorious future that was promised by Jesus. And what was lost in all this, and it wasn't just Martha, and we shouldn't be too hard on Martha because we would have been the exact same way, but what was lost in all this was what Jesus wanted to do now. What he wanted to do in that moment was he wanted to raise Lazarus up out of that grave so that his Father might be glorified and so that people might know that the Father had sent him, the Son of God, into this world. He wanted to raise Lazarus from the grave, but nobody there really expected a miracle. And now I'd like for us to think about this scenario and in John chapter 11, and like for us to think about our own lives and our own walk. How often do we look back on what has passed? How often don't we hear about the good old days? We look back on what's passed, some of it good, some of it bad. We can look back in the past and those things that were good. You know, we reminisce and we reminisce fondly about it. And sometimes we even kind of wish we could go back to that was past that was good. But sometimes we think about that was in the past. And we think about the bad and we think about our sin. And we dwell on what should be left in the past. You know, Christ came into this world so that once we came to believe in Him, we would let the past in the past. As Paul wrote, so that we would put away the old man. But how often as Christians don't we get hung up in the past? Either wishing we could relive those glory days, or we get bound down by the weight of sin's past that Jesus came to forgive us of. And whenever we got one eye looking behind us, we're not running the race that God has called us to run. And you might say, well, that's the race looking toward the future. And we should be looking forward to a glorious future that Christ has promised, because He said, I am the resurrection life. He who believes in me will have eternal life. And we should look forward to that. But how many times lately haven't you heard people say, I just wish Jesus would come back? And you know, that should be something that we look forward to. But think about Martha. She was looking so far ahead to that glorious future that she just about missed the now. She just about missed what Christ wanted to do in that moment. And so, church, I want to encourage us. I want to encourage us to look forward to that glorious future. But let's not wish time away. And let's not try to speed God up in His plans, because He has a plan for the now. He has a plan for today that we might not even be looking at yet. And so that's my challenge. My challenge is that we might not miss the now. That we might not miss what God wants to do in this moment and in this time. You know, there's a reason why God is tarrying. You know, as we look around and we see the filth and the corruption and the decline of our nation and of this world, as we see the death and destruction that's happening all over, and especially as we see what's happening and taking place in Ukraine, we have a tendency to say, Lord, why don't you come, and why don't you come now? But let's not forget why He's tarrying, why He's waiting. He's waiting so that others might come to know. That's what we've talked about the last two Sundays. People coming to know who the Son of God is. And as we look forward to celebrating Easter and be reminding of Christ's victory over the grave, let's not just wish that Christ would return now, but let's focus on the now and focus on telling that story, because there are people around us who need to know the Son of God. They need to know that their past can be left in the past because of His victory over death. They need to know of a glorious future that's available to them because He's the resurrection and the life. But if we don't talk about Him now, they'll never know. Let's not stay focused on the past. Let's not just look to the future, but in the now. Let's share with others who the Son of God is. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. And we thank You for the truth that we find in it. And Lord, we thank You for the miracles that we read about in Your Word, that You gave Your Son the power to carry out so that others might believe. We think, as we talked last week, about the miracle of giving sight to a man who had been blind from birth. What a miracle, Lord. Thank you. We think today of the power that your Son had to bring someone out of the grave and breathe into them new life. And Lazarus rose and walked out to be unbound and unwrapped. What a miracle. But Lord, on that day, many who were there could only think about what had passed. Martha could think about what was to come, but just about all missed what you had in store for now, for that moment and that time. And Lord, I just pray and I speak to your people today that you might help us to see what you would want for us in this moment, in this now. Lord, maybe right now there's one who has not yet put their faith in you. Lord, speak to them now. Speak to them now and let them know that just as your Son rescued Lazarus from the grave, their soul found in sin can be rescued right now. Their soul that's wrapped up in sin can be loosened, can be unbound because of what Jesus has done for them. Lord, I pray you'd speak to that one who needs to hear clearly today that they can escape the death from sin and come to new life through the Son of God. And Lord, for those of us who believe, help our focus to be on the moment that you've placed us in right now. Lord, we long for the return of your Son. We want your Son to return. We want your Son to come back so that, you know, in the future, this old world can be a place of peace. And it can be the place of hope that you wanted it to be. We long for the return of the Son. But Lord, help us to not stop talking about the Son now and to share with others and to proclaim who you are, to talk about you being a God of miracles and being a God who most importantly can bring eternal life. Father, we thank you again for this reminder from your word as to who the Son is. And now help us to share that precious assurance here in the now to others who need to know it. We ask these things in your precious and holy name. Amen and amen.